Hey friends, today's episode has a content warning for sexual abuse. If this is a trigger for you, I recommend skipping ahead to about 12 minutes into the episode. As always, your self-care is most important.
Welcome to the Ashes to Wings podcast, where we tell stories of overcomers and give you tips and tricks to living a fuller, more embodied life. Here's your host, Jenny O'Connor.
Hey friends, welcome to Ashes to Wings. Today we'll be talking with Carissa Moreno, whom you may have seen on NBC or on stage at locations such as Sacramento State University and Delta College. Carissa has worked with brands such as McDonald's, Clorox, Primerica, and the Boys and Girls Club of America. In her prior life, she owned a cultural island dancing group that performed nationally. She is now dedicated to helping business-minded moms, showing them how they really can have the family and business life they want without the stress, anxiety, and guilt that are heaped upon them. She and her husband, Bruce, have used their skills as certified trainers of neuro-linguistic programming to help moms and families quit smoking, recover from the brink of divorce, alleviate anxiety, and eliminate toxic relationships. She helps working moms get their lives back so they can make an impact, enjoy their families, and find the freedom to have it all. Carissa makes her home in Stockton, California with her husband, Bruce, and their four children, including their 2.5-year-old twins, Bruce and Athena. Carissa, thank you for joining us today.
Yay, I'm so excited to be here with you, Jenny. So exciting.
It's so great to see you. And like, first of all, I just want to say 2.5-year-old twins, that's amazing. So kudos to you.
Yeah, they're definitely a handful.
I was like, I know how one was, so two at the same time. Yeah, you deserve a trophy or something. Some chocolate. Right?
Oh my God, I would just totally post that up right up on my desk.
Love it. So Carissa, I'm also an NLP practitioner, but can you explain for our audience what neuro-linguistic programming is?
Yes, neuro-linguistic programming. So obviously, we'll break down really quick the words, right? Neuro meaning brain, linguistic meaning language, and programming meaning programming. Literally, NLP is a language of the subconscious mind, or conscious and subconscious. Once you dive into NLP, learning NLP, it's like learning the manual of how your brain works. And it's such a powerful modality to create massive change super quickly.
So how have you used NLP with your clients? Give me an example of what that looks like.
By asking probing questions. So this could be something like when I had my client Cecilia, she was smoking since she was 12 all the way to adulthood. And so by asking a lot of probing questions, getting really curious and was able to do a few techniques to then release it so she can now not smoke anymore.
That's amazing. So she no longer smokes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. It's incredible what you can do when you really access the brain to its full capacity.
Yeah. NLP is really about really getting curious about someone's behaviors, especially if they're negative or non-serving, like if they're not serving them in their life. By asking really probing questions to get down deep into the mind space and the subconscious so that we can get to the root cause, because that's definitely where we're going to, is the root cause of where the behavior stems from so that we can change it.
I love that, because I feel like so much of Western medicine is just focused on fixing the symptoms and kind of putting a Band-Aid over it instead of actually getting down into the deep levels of why is this actually happening so we can change that behavior.
Exactly. It's like if a firefighter comes to a burning building, they're going to obviously put the fire out, but they need to find out how it started.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So by getting to that root part of it, then they can have preventative ways of how the fire doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. And just kind of so that they can not consistently have fires.
Yes. And if you've ever seen them put out a fire, they're aiming the hose at the base of the fire, at the root of the flame.
That's
up in the higher levels, because it's much more effective that way. So you coach parents on how to be more flexible in their parenting, and it seems like this is a cause that's close to your heart. What was your childhood like?
Oh, my childhood. So I'm going to paint a picture for you, Jenny. So I'm reaching under my pillow. Right past the ketchup packets was my last Starburst. And I sneak it out and quietly pop it into my mouth so no one knows. I'm 10 years old. My parents are divorced and my dad's a drug addict. We didn't have a lot. Most days we didn't have dinner or breakfast. And in fact, one day my dad's girlfriend took and sold all my clothes except for what I wore to school.
Oh my gosh.
And on my 10-year-old birthday, my dad's girlfriend gives me this like big old thing of juice. You know, you ever go to the gas stations and see those like big gulps? That's what kind of like a big old, just a big cup of juice. That's what it looked like to me. And she gives it to me and it just tasted really sweet. I drank it and turned out to be spiked.
Oh.
Yeah. And so at 10 years old, I was drunk for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
And so the room's kind of spinning. I'm not feeling very well. My stomach kind of starts turning. And so my dad's girlfriend says, hey, my sister can take her to her house. She could sleep it off and we can kind of continue hanging out. And so she walks me a couple doors down to her house and, you know, we get to her room. I'm laying in the bed and I'm like, okay, let's just go to sleep. And the room's spinning still and I'm just not feeling well at all. I look and I notice the door pops open. Her 15-year-old brother comes in, picks me up, lays me on the ground, puts a sheet over us, me and him. And he kind of starts touching me. And then he rapes me. And his sister, who's sitting in the room, just doesn't really do anything, kind of watches.
She was in the room while this happened.
She was in the room while this happened and didn't stop it. I don't know if there was like a fear thing there or not, but there, she didn't stop it. And this went on for a couple years. But I finally get the opportunity to move to my parents in Arizona. So this was nice.
Yeah. And was that with your mom?
Yeah. So I got the chance to move with my mom in Arizona. And finally, I had breakfast every morning and dinner every night. That was, it was amazing to like think about such little things like that could be so appreciated. And I had friends that moved in next door and I was able to play with them. And it was just such a different way of living.
Yeah. Just something that so many kids take for granted was like a luxury for you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I had friends. There was food. My favorite part of Arizona, I would say, was monsoon season. It's 100-degree weather and it's raining. And it just feels so good outside. You're outside with shorts and it's raining and it's hot and it's like the humidity feels so nice. So from there, things are looking up, right? So I'm 20 now and I enroll in college. So I'm dating a guy and I get pregnant, which was really, I mean, it was unexpected, but definitely a fun thing, right? So my grandmother, my Samoan grandmother in the family, she comes up to me and she wants me to do the right thing. And she says, stay home and get married, have a family. And so I do the right thing. I don't go to school and I stay home, have my family. And over the next 5 years, we have another child. And I stay married to a guy who abused drugs, abused me, and cheated on me on my wedding night.
No.
Yes.
Oh, it's crazy how what some people see as the right thing can be so very, very wrong for us.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like once I listed all, I mean, I recapped it in my head. I was just like, you know, we can have it all. So it's like, man, yeah. So one day when my husband actually had a job, he left at 5 a.m. for his work day. And I decided that At that moment, I'm going to pack everything I could in trash bags because, you know, we didn't have like fancy luggage or anything like that. So I did that. So at 5 a.m., I started, you know, packing everything into trash bags. And then from there, you know, as I'm packing that, loading the car, my kids wake up when I'm packing the very last trash bag. And we have two children and they wake up and I'm like, shh. And they're like, I get them dressed, grab the last bag, and we head for the door. And right as we approach the door, his mom comes out of the room and she says, hey, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm just doing laundry. And she kind of looks at me funny, like, it's 5 a.m. Why are you doing
that? Just really motivated.
So anyway, she looks at me and she's like, okay, I'll see you later. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool. So I walk out, load the last trash bag, put the kids in their seats and drove off and never came back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was such a relief, but so nerve-wracking.
Sure.
A few months later, I get a job at McDonald's and I enroll in school, back in school again. I get promoted to manager and I work there for a couple years. All of a sudden, this guy walks in and he's working there too.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in and he starts asking me on a date, kind of pestering me a little bit. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, I have two kids. There's no way I can date. But he wouldn't relent. He just wouldn't give up. And one day he told me, like, I just don't care, you know? And so we finally go out. I'm like, fine. You know, we finally go out. We date. And we're walking. This is our first date. We walk through the park. There's meteor shower. So we watch that. Mm-hmm. And it just felt right.
Yeah.
You know, and 4 years later, we are married and are looking down at our newborn twins. And it just feels like we're a whole family. And we both have been through a lot growing up, as we realized in our relationship as we dated. And now we're both parent coaches that... I mean, we're just now on this mission to help other parents be flexible with parenting and just being the parent that their child needs.
Hmm.
We dove deep into like personal development, NLP, and are just super passionate about fast change work, but also helping parents be more parents. There is no manual out there for us, you know, right. And there's really no guidance besides what we learned from our parents. And if we didn't like that, I mean, what do we do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no manual. There's a lot of judgment, but there's no manual. Mm-hmm. Yes. So was there anyone or anywhere that felt like a safe space for you while you were going through all of this?
My brother.
Hmm.
He was 7 years older than me. So he pretty much took care of me during this tough time. If it wasn't for him, I feel like I would be in a different place right now. He didn't live with me, but he would come and bring food and stuff and all that. So it just, yeah, he was my safe space.
It's amazing. I can imagine as a young girl, it's got to feel so helpless. It's not like you can just jump in a car and escape or
do
anything to change your situation. So how did you start to reclaim your power?
I just had to get real and accept, like, this is my life. This is what happened to me. I had to do a lot of healing. NLP really helped release a lot of those past traumas to now become the person I am now. And now I can parent the way that my parents didn't parent me.
That you needed.
Yeah. Yeah. And provide that love for myself to overcome all that. Because if I allowed that to stick with me today, I would not be here. I would not be here sitting here with you and doing the work that I do. It was just realizing that this is what happened. I can't ignore it. I can just heal from it.
Mm-hmm. So how did the way that you were raised, how did that affect how you raise your children now?
It gave me a good example of what not to do.
Yeah.
What not to pass down, because essentially, right, like what we learn from our parents is what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And so by healing from those past traumas and just the experience of it all, I mean, it's traumatic, I guess, if you really think about it, but if it's more just that was my experience. And I could say that now, because before, I think I would have just been like blaming. Blaming my past, blaming my parents, or blaming the people around me. And what I want to teach my kids is not to blame other people, not to blame. Blaming doesn't help anything, you know, blaming or saying like, because this happened to me, that's why I'm this way. It's okay. This was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can move past it. There's always a way.
Mm-hmm. Learn from it and move on and
use
it to make yourself better. Yeah. So what's the most important advice that you can give abuse survivors who are parenting their own children?
Be the person, or provide the space, be the person that you didn't have to them is one thing I could say. If you didn't have someone to talk to without judgment, be that for them.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my older kids, they're 14 and 12 now. we have like a day, or we have little moments where we kind of hang out together, and we'll have like set dates where it's like, okay, you can tell me whatever it is you want to tell me, even if it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not here to blame, shame, or like, I'm not here to tell you what you did wrong. It's just to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Just for them to get it out, because they don't have a lot of that. You know, there's a lot of their friends. Sometimes, obviously, we have good friends, and sometimes we don't have that friend like we can just say things to. So, I would say just be the person, or provide that space that you didn't have, that you wish you had when you were a kid.
So smart. So smart. And I know we're heading into school season again. Which is a really stressful time. do you have any NLP, quick NLP techniques that you can teach our listeners to help them manage their stress better?
Oh my gosh. So there's so many things to be stressed out about when it comes to this subject, because it's like there's finances, there's getting the kids up every morning. Like if that's an issue, like there's so many things to be stressed out about. What I would say here is, plan like you're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't wake up in the morning, the first day of school, and be like, okay, let's go. And then like, there's no prep. Jenny, if you were going to Japan, what are some things that you would have to do? If you think about it that way, like pretend you're going to Japan, like so say when school's out and there's, you know, first day of school's coming, plan like you're traveling for it. Like when you're traveling, right? You got your toiletries, you got your clothes, you got your suitcase, you got, there's your socks, your shoes, like all the different things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're traveling to somewhere like Japan, you're like, okay, what do I need to learn how to say? So I would say step one, like plan like it's a trip, because you got to get everybody on board. It's not just about you. It's not about them. It's not about necessarily getting them there on time, although that is the end goal. Thinking about it, that is the goal. They have to know, right? And I'm snapping because it's like they have to know. And so everybody needs to be on the same page in this. So plan like you're traveling is step one. Step two, write down what was stressful the year before.
Yeah.
Plan for that today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if it was, they need more sleep, let's prime them a month or a few weeks before. Okay, you're going to bed at this time. Prime them for that. They get to bed in time, or figure out what it is that they like to wake up to. So like my son likes to wake up to something funny. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll have like something on Instagram, a video that he likes, a meme or something, and I'll just play it and he'll wake up laughing and he's awake like in 30 seconds, whatever, however long the video is, but 30 seconds wake up versus waking them up, walking away to go get ready, come back, waking them up again. You know, like there's all these obstacles around that. So step two would be write down what was stressful the year before for you and prime that, like be ready for that. Cause that's going to happen again if you don't change it, if you didn't change anything. Mm-hmm. Step three would be to game plan the kids, pep talk them. Like, okay, here's the game plan. And sometimes this could feel funny for kids, especially if you don't normally do this. But know that that's a normal thing because it's like anything that is new, you know, you look at it a little funny. You're like, I don't know, mom's a little weird right now or a little, you know. So especially if you're not used to prep talking them or showing them, hey, this is the plan, this is what we're doing. And, you know, you're showing them your travel plans, the things that you have already written down and planned. You're planning a trip.
Yes.
And in these pep talks or game plans, you want to tell them all expectations openly, just being like, hey, this is what is expected because this is the goal we're after. Mm-hmm. And frame it how it's going to benefit them. Not necessarily yourself, because it is going to benefit you as a parent, right? But how it's going to benefit them. Like for my daughter, she doesn't like being late because she doesn't like walking in late because she feels embarrassed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, with this plan, right? You're essentially selling them on the plan, right? Like with this plan, you can be there on time, which means you won't be embarrassed.
Yeah.
And you don't have to feel embarrassed walking into school like that. And maybe some kids, they don't think that far ahead and you have to tell them like, don't you want to not be late and be embarrassed? Asking them like, shoot, I don't want to be late and be embarrassed, you know? So again, in this game plan with the kids, address any concerns that they might have. Like if there's anything, there's like, oh, well, what if I don't have my clothes ready, you know? Or you ask that question, what if you don't have your clothes ready? How long is it going to take? Really talk about it because those things will pay off in the end.
Mm-hmm. When mine were little, I loved all of the ways that I could make my life easier in the morning. And so we had those little hanging shelves that went in the closet, and there were enough spots that I could preload Sunday night. I would load in their entire outfits for the week and any arguments that we were going to have, because, you know, when they're three, they want to argue about whether the sky is blue. So it was like, okay, if you're going to argue about an outfit, Sunday night is the night to do it. So we'll have it all out Sunday night. We choose the outfits for the week. And then it was just pull the outfit for the day. And that was a huge time saver for us. And the other favorite thing that we did was I made a playlist of songs that they love and would get them up and moving and dancing around. And each song had a task to it. So it's like, okay, this song is brush your teeth. This song is comb your hair and do whatever you're going to do with your hair. And this song is feed the dogs. And, you know, and we had a little thing on the fridge that would remind them what each thing was until they got used to it. But then it was like clockwork. And if they stayed on track, they had time to watch a TV show before we left for school. So that was kind of their little reward. And before that, there was so much yelling. So much yelling. I'm Irish. I have a temper. I think most moms can relate to that. And there was no more yelling. It was so nice. And I know that that's something that a lot of us moms have guilt about, is yelling at our kids. Is there any actual purpose in yelling at our kids?
Yes, 100%. There's a purpose for a lot of things. But the purpose for yelling is because, I mean, if you really, again, dig down deep to the root cause, is because you're not being heard. The reason why anyone really yells is because they're not being heard. And it could show up in different language. People would say things like, oh, like, you're just not listening to me, right? Or, did you hear me? Clean your ears, right? Like, there's all these different ways of saying it. But if you really think about it, it's because you're just not being heard. And what is important to understand around that is, what is it that they're not hearing you say? You know, is it a need that you need that they just don't know about? Those are definitely the deeper questions to start eliminating yelling is like, okay, why, what are they not hearing that I need them to hear? And you could say it in a calm voice, right? It's just the purpose of yelling is that you're not being heard.
Yeah. So how do you recommend that we get out of our heads when we're in that frustrated space of, you're not listening to me?
A lot of what we say is patience. Oh, I learned patience, right? I learned patience, but embodying patience at a core level. When frustrations are high, mm-hmm. you have to actually exemplify patience, not just say that you're being patient. Yeah. Because we could say like, I'm being so patient with you right now, but like we could say it with our teeth kind of, and like the kid's gonna receive it like, are you sure about that, you know, like, in their minds they're like so scared. But it's actually embodying patience. And so how you can start doing this is when we're super hyped up and frustrated is, what's going to get you to patience? What is the steps to get you to patience? So like for me, it would be like, okay, I need to walk away for a couple seconds and remove myself from this area, because there's areas in our house where we argue the most, right? Like there's parts in our house, like whether it's you're standing at the door in the kid's room and you're, you know, or you're at the stairs or you're in the living room, like, okay, go to a place where you can then calm down and do whatever it takes for you to calm down. Or some of the things I do, and this changed our house big time, was I would play music that brings in the energy of flow and calmness. And that helps the house just be in that energy automatically. So say the kids are upstairs and they're like, even they get frustrated in the mornings, right? They get frustrated. I got to go to school, blah, 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 and whatever they're thinking about at school, like that they have to look forward to or not look forward to, they're going to come down. They're like, oh, and the state changes. I've seen it. Like the state changes and they're calm and they're present. And you come out and you're exemplifying this patience and just let go of what they did, because it's not personal. What they did or what they're frustrating you about isn't a personal attack. And I think that's what we need to realize, is that it's not a personal attack. It's just what we are receiving it as. So we need to take it upon ourselves to go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to calm down and figure out what I need to do to just be patient right now and be present so that we can get moving, you know?
Yeah.
You can't get moving when you're focused on whatever it is that they did or whatever it is that it's frustrating you.
Yeah. It's such a complicated relationship between moms and kids, because we're interacting as humans where we can get offended or be hurt by what they say. And it's a closer relationship than any other relationship. But then we're also trying to set an example of how to be a healthy human being to them at the same time. Yeah. And I feel like there's so much tied into the mother-child relationship. So how do you recommend that we balance that need for a connection and a closeness with our kids with making sure that we're still showing up as the authority in their lives?
Yes. So I would say first, whatever it is that say that they say offends you or that makes you feel negative, where that negativity stems from, again, going back to root cause, but also establishing boundaries around that. Like, okay, what they said, and I'll get into the boundaries thing in a second, but what they said was something that was said to me when I was a kid. So this is why I'm getting upset. It's not necessarily, it's almost never what they actually said. It's always how they said it that reminds us of what. Sorry, that was a snap. It reminds us of what happened in the past. And sometimes we don't know clearly when in the moment, because we just get triggered, right? We just get triggered in the moment, like, oh crap, like, okay. And then you lash out or you react. So number one is setting that boundary of like, I'm not going to react to something that they didn't personally mean to do to me, right? Because it's not up to our kids to be emotionally aware of us, to be like, oh, I am in control of my mom's emotions. That's not their role. Their role is not to, oh, I need to control my own ways of speaking so that my mom or my dad doesn't get upset with me. They're just talking. They're just saying things. And it's up to us to either make it about us or not. And if it is a triggering thing, like, okay, just knowing that the triggering thing is not because of them or what they said. You made me mad, right? How many times have you heard that? Like, oh, it's because of you that you did this to me, or you said this and blah, blah, blah. It's never the case. It's always that something that happened, like, oh, this reminds me of when I was a kid and my mom or my dad said this to me. And that's why I'm angry. Mm-hmm. So setting the appropriate, healthy boundaries between your emotions and knowing that they aren't in charge of you. Mm. They aren't in charge of your emotions. That's you.
Yeah.
So, and establishing boundaries like that throughout your relationship with them. So there's a boundary, obviously, with accepting or providing authority. You have to be in a state of authority, not get the difference. It's authority, not anger or not tyrant, right? Yes. It's just being a leader. Like, hey, this is how we do things. Knowing that container, setting a boundary and a container for that, a healthy boundary and container for when I need to be an authority, here's how I can do that. What does authority mean to you, right? Who do you see in your life that you can role model authority from, that's a healthy authority? Again, not tyrant authority. Yeah. It's, this is how we do things in the house, right? And setting those rules and boundaries with them, being open, but you have to set them as a parent. And that's how you establish authority, is by providing boundaries in the home. Because, like, it sets a flow for the house and an expectation. That's what's more what I think I'm trying to say.
And saying, this is the culture of the house. So, Carissa, our podcast is called Ashes to Wings, referring to the story of the phoenix transforming and rising from the ashes. I like to ask all of our guests this question. What does rise above mean in your life?
Rise above means to learn from the past and present a different future. Learn from what has happened and be that difference that you're looking to provide. Overcome. There's always through life, there's always a sense of overcoming. And just know that anything that is being presented that feels negative or feels bad can always be overcome. And then be that new person.
Beautiful. And Carissa, I always like to leave our listeners with a bumper sticker statement. So a summary of what you've just talked about that would fit on a bumper sticker. So what would your bumper sticker be?
My bumper sticker is, you can parent without yelling.
I like it. Short and sweet. Beautiful. And then I have a few rapid fire fun questions for you.
Yay.
If a book was written about your life, what would it be called?
Holy moly.
That's the name of it. Holy moly.
Holy moly. Yep. Holy moly. You're in for a ride.
I like it. What are three things no mom should do without?
Ooh, three things no mom should do without. The first thing that comes to my mind is a notebook. One thing, I think notebooks provide a space for us to just get it out. Notebooks have no judgment. They just are there and you can literally write everything down and it's not going to talk back to you. So three things. Number one is a notebook. Number two is self-care. Always take care of yourself, because if you're not taken care of, there's no way that you can last taking care of other people. I mean, that's the nature of who we are as moms, is we take care of our family, our energy. We are the energy in the home. So self-care. Number three is, oh, my mind's funny, asleep. that feels like self-care, but yeah, NLP.
Yeah, absolutely.
NLP, yeah.
What movie could you watch over and over?
Oh my goodness. What movie can I watch? Oh, Men in Black. three.
Three?
Men in Black 3. I can't tell you why. I love that movie. I could watch that over and over. And Star Wars. But yeah.
Yes. So which Star Wars? Are we talking 4 through 6 or all of them? Or
Revenge of the Sith.
Gotcha.
That one's my favorite. I, again, can't tell you why. It's just so entertaining. Yeah, those two, I would say. I know you said one, but yeah, those two.
It's too hard to choose. What book belongs on everyone's bookshelf?
This is a fiction book. It's called The Innocent Mage.
Nice.
That book, I would read again. It's a really just, it's a fun book to read. And nice. It's a two-parter, but yes, I would say The Innocent Mage.
I like it. I love fiction. What are your favorite pizza toppings?
Pepperoni. Well, okay. Chicken and pepperoni and olives.
Together or separate?
Well, what I like together is chicken and pepperoni and chicken, pepperoni, and basil.
Hmm.
Like fresh basil.
Yeah.
Favorite.
Nice. And then what is your guilty pleasure song?
Guilty pleasure song? Oh, God. Okay. What have I been blasting lately? Okay. There's a song, Beyonce, Love on Top. This one is such a fun song. So, like, I'll blast it in the car, and even my son would sing it. Like, we're just, like, in the car. Yeah.
Love it. So fun. Amazing. Well, Carissa, I know you have an offer just for our Ashes to Wings listeners. Tell us about that.
So I have a new program coming out. It's called Flexible Mom Accelerator. Mm-hmm. And here's where we dive deep on really how to be the flexible mom in the home and manage everything, all the hats that we have. So the offer I have is really just a one-on-one call to be clear on if you feel like you're juggling so much hats, you feel all these polarizations in your life, right? You feel pulled to take care of your kids. There's work, business, husband, all the things. It's a one-on-one call with me to vent and get clear and be recognized for freaking the mom you are and the amazing work that you do, and get clear on how to be this flexible mom that you're looking to be.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And you can find the link for that offer along with Carissa's social media links on her guest page at our website. That's ashestowings.net/Carissa, CARISSA-Moreno, MORENO. Make sure you give her a follow. Carissa, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Jenny. It's been so fun and pleasurable.
Yes.
I laugh a lot. This has been so fun. Thank you so much.
Yes, it was great to have you. So just to recap our episode, we talked about the purpose of yelling and that it does actually have a purpose. We talked about embodied patience and how we can make sure that our body actually matches up with our words when we say we're being patient with our kids. And we talked about establishing boundaries and the importance of that. And again, Carissa's bumper sticker was, "You can parent without yelling." These fit so nicely with our values at Ashes to Wings, from the wisdom of stepping outside of the moment to check in with your body, to the importance of setting healthy boundaries. I hope you've learned something that helps you feel more connected in your parenting today. Don't forget to check out Carissa's guest page. Again, that's ashestowings.net/Carissa-Moreno. Friends, thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow the show, rate, and review. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. The best way to learn is to teach someone else. So take one thing you learned today and share it with a friend. Find Jenny on Instagram at @the_Jenny_O'Connor and online at jennyoconnor.com. Subscribe for new episodes. Until next time, rise above.